Democracy is a chorus and it starts with you. Shadow politics.
Let the midnight speak
for the overlooked,
the unheard, the strong and the weak.
Senator Michael D. Brown holding open the door.
Liberty Jones saying
we were silent no more.
From the district streets
to the nation's soul,
every broken out voice
makes the country whole.
Shadow politics.
Turn the dark into sound.
When America listens,
justice comes around.
Hi, good evening and welcome to Shadow Politics, an hour-long grassroots talk show, which is on a mission to make America think again. I'm your host, Michael D. Brown, United States Senator Emeritus from the District of Columbia, and along with my amazing co-host, Liberty Jones, we're interviewing the people that are making it happen. Not always in front of the camera, but always ahead of the curve. We're not going to tell you how to feel or who to vote for. We're just putting the information out there because it's what goes on in the shadows that really makes the world go round. So come listen and learn, because a vote is a terrible thing to waste. And now more than ever, we need everyone listening, learning, and engaged if we're going to make America sane again. If you got a question, you can call in at 888-627-6008. Tonight, we have a couple of special guests with us tonight, because we are going to talk about the advocacy work of Hayden Panettiere. You know, everybody's talking about the tragedy of this young woman, and it is a tragedy, passing away at such an early age. And they're going over all of her acting credits, and we know what they are. She was a fine actress, but she was also a woman with a really great heart, and she cared about people, and she cared about animals. And tonight we have two special guests who worked closely with her that are going to tell us all about that. So let me introduce first Senator Paul Strauss. He's the United States Senator from the District of Columbia. He's been the United States Senator for the District of Columbia for, I don't know, like 100 years. I can't remember how long it's been, Paul, but it's been at least 25 years, and we're thankful for his service. And he's going to tell us about Hayden's activism in the statehood movement. We also have Jeff from the Whaleman Foundation. She was very, very passionate about saving whales and porpoises, these amazing animals. And he's going to tell us about her activism with his group. So let's start with you, Senator Strauss. Thanks for being with us. Tell us how you met Hayden and how she got involved.
Well, you were there as well.
But you're the one that got her involved.
It was during the 2008 presidential campaign, and it was one of those rare times where you and I actually get to vote, because the Democratic Party recognizes us as automatic or superdelegates. And we had arranged a meeting with Senator Barack Obama, who was in the process of courting us, trying to get D.C.'s superdelegates to vote for him instead of Hillary Clinton. And in the room is this bright, young, vivacious person who was pretty famous at the time, although I have to be honest, I didn't really know who she was. I think it was one of our younger interns that was super excited. And when they introduced us all to each other, and Hayden heard that I was a senator, that we were senators, she immediately began to talk about voting for this bill. It was some kind of Marine Mammal Protection Act, I guess, and starts talking about the whales and how we have to vote for this bill. And I think me and you were just kind of focused, because we didn't have a lot of time with Senator Obama, and we wanted to be organized. And she kept being very, very insistent, and I actually kind of brushed her off initially. I think I said something like, look, kid, I'm sure you have a lot of important things to say about fish, but I really need to focus on this right now. Maybe we could talk tomorrow. And, of course, that set her off even more, because she's explaining they're not fish, they're mammals. They produce milk, they have babies, which, you know, let's face it, nothing that either one of us could do. So we agreed to meet the next day, and she laid out a case very, very professionally about the legislation, and I explained, look, it's not that I wouldn't want to vote for this bill. I can't vote for any bill. And she used these words. It was something like, but we have to defend the whales. The whales can't vote. And I said, if you're talking about voteless mammals, we have 700,000 of them in D.C., and none of them are represented in Congress. But if we ever could make D.C. a state, then I could assure you there would be two senators who would be voting to protect the whales and the environment and all of the causes that you probably believe in. And she got it. And from that moment on, she was part of the D.C. statehood movement and committed to helping us out. And although I know the whales remain her first love, she became an effective and powerful advocate for D.C. statehood. And we were lucky to have her on our side.
Well, and it's my recollection, Paul, that she made commercials for us almost immediately. I remember the two of you doing a commercial like several days after you met her. Isn't that true? Even before we took her to the convention.
Absolutely. It was actually your slogan, the Think Inside the Box campaign that you you helped us come up with. And she did what she did best, which is articulate a message in front of a camera in a way that we hadn't really thought about before. And it was really that program that ended up becoming the 51 Stars campaign, but where we're recruiting all kinds of so-called Hollywood stars to help us get 51 stars on the American flag. But Hayden Panettiere was the very first one to step in front of a camera and advocate for D.C. statehood, and that spot became all over the place. It went viral before we really used that expression, and it really made a big difference in our campaign to begin to raise money, because at the time, the checkoff fund was the only way that the delegation was getting funded. It's not like today. So that was a really important effort.
Yeah. And go ahead, Paul. I'm sorry.
I think that was Jeff starting to weigh in.
No, but I'm going to weigh in.
Yeah, let me just add to something to what Paul said, and that is that she was 18 while all this was going on. She was 18 years old. Now, Paul and I have both raised teenage girls, so I don't know how you feel about it, Senator Strauss, but I was amazed that she got so involved so quickly. She was an amazing advocate, was she not?
She absolutely was, and she was really committed. And it wasn't just, advocacy or lip service. She really would, when she adopted a cause, she would do whatever it took. And I was impressed. She wasn't just some kind of celebrity spokesperson for the whale campaign. This was someone, and Jeff can elaborate really on it, but she's in the water and was putting herself in front of these whaling boats in Japan. And when I heard these stories and how committed she was, you know, we talk about talking the talk and we talk about walking the walk, but this was the first time I had an activist that would swam the swim and really went that extra mile. And I think there was like an arrest warrant out for her
by the
Japanese government.
You guys are not going to believe the 3 days we spent in D.C. before you met her on that day when we all got to meet with Senator Obama. But to give you guys a little bit of history, the listening audience, Hayden was 18 when we were in D.C. for that trip. I met her when she was just 15 working on the set of a film called Shanghai Kiss. I was working in the camera department and Hayden was the female co-star of that feature film. And I was just taken aback by, at then the age of 15, her professionalism, the way she interacted with the other actors and all the crew people, including myself on set, because I was working right next to the director. And at that time, I was looking for somebody, a bright new face, to run the Save the Whales Again campaign. I was looking for a celebrity that would be very passionate and that could be the face for this big international campaign we were going to do. So I actually pitched it to Hayden and her mom, because her mom had to be with her on set all the time because she was a minor, and they immediately agreed. And so we started on this amazing mission together in 2006. And I took her to see Friendly Gray Whales in Baja in 2007. I took her to see orcas and belugas in Alaska that same year. And then in November, I asked her to go with me to Taiji in Japan, where these dolphin killers hunt these dolphins. And we were just going to do like a little friendly protest there. Like what it turned out is, long story short, they decided to do a hunt the day after we did our friendly protest. And we went back there, and Hayden and six others, including actress Isabel Lucas from Australia, paddled out into blood-filled waters and confronted those Japanese fishermen. And I mean, Hayden got close enough where they were hitting her with their poles. They put a propeller very close to her, and that story blew up. She was on Access Hollywood. We did a bunch of stuff with Entertainment Tonight. I mean, it was a big, big deal. And so from the very beginning, she's been like a true warrior and just had this passion to really use her voice for animals that didn't have a voice. And a lot of that, she also learned through me that we had to do a lot of advocacy. So we left Japan, and we had arrest warrants out for us. So both Hayden and I had arrest warrants out. We asked to meet with the ambassadors of Iceland, Japan, and Norway, the three whaling countries, in Washington, D.C. in January of 2008. And they all three agreed to meet with us. And we first went to the Norwegian embassy, and that went okay. It was no big deal. We went to the Iceland embassy. That man was very charming, but he tried to get Hayden to eat whale meat. And of course, he said, I don't want anything to do with that. And then we went to Japan, their embassy last, because we were afraid that we might get arrested, because we still had the arrest warrants out. But I have to say, the ambassador of Japan was very enthralled with Hayden and actually told her he thought she was very courageous for the acts that she did. And he said that the country of Japan didn't hold it against her and that there were no more arrest warrants. And he was actually very nice to her. And so we left there. And on the way out, we heard about this Kennedy thing happening at American University. She looks at me and she goes, Barack Obama's going to be at Kennedy, at this American University with the Kennedys. I want to go. And I'm like, well, I don't know that we're going to be able to get in there. And she goes, I don't care, let's try. And to make a long story short, she charmed her way through the first layer of security, which were the Metropolitan Police. Then the first layer of security came, Secret Service. She charmed. They immediately recognized who she was. And then she got to meet with Reggie, who was Obama's main man. And he escorted us in. And then Senator Brown and Senator Strauss were both in that same waiting room. And we were there to also meet with then Senator Barack Obama. And just like you guys are saying, she immediately glommed on to your message on what we needed to do for D.C. voting rights and to get, you know, statehood. And it's a shame that still hasn't happened. But she was a force to be reckoned with. She really was. And I'm so sorry that we don't have her here today. But I love the fact that we're being able to share with the listening audience just who she was and how passionate she was about the things that she really wanted to do.
Yeah, she was an amazing young woman, and she really did put her passion into everything she did. Now, I have Liberty Jones, my co-host. You're a younger person. Liberty, I hate to say this because it hurts every time I say it. Liberty is 50 years younger than I am. So, Liberty, what do you have to say? You have a question for these guys?
Yes. You know, truly, as a young person, it's incredibly inspirational to see somebody like this. And I think, you know, what makes Hayden a true warrior is not simply that she fought for all of these causes, but that she truly understood how her voice itself is a form of agency. And I believe that once you have, you know, the capacity to speak for something that you believe is wrong, that's a choice to be made. And that's something that's very difficult. Us who are active in different types of movements know how hard it is to stand in the face of oppression. And so, you know, me personally, I see that as a huge thread connecting her activism. Taking your platform and being able to speak on it is something truly inspirational. And what do you think that tells us about the relationship that's prevalent? You know, for both of you, different movements at hand. We have statehood and we have the fight against whale abuse and different types of ocean mammals. But what do you think that tells us about the relationship of democratic participation, activism, and courage? You know, what is truly most inspirational to you guys that you saw through Hayden's participation?
Well,
go ahead, Senator.
She understood the importance that voting was going to play for all of these causes. And so it wasn't just her willingness to get in the water and engage in protecting, you know, really literally these mammals. And whether you were a voteless mammal that lived in the water or a voteless mammal that lived in the District of Columbia, she was passionate about both. But she began as a young person voting for the first time in that election to really use her message and engage other young people. And she had, in fact, gone back to American University where it all started with a youth vote campaign. And was willing to use her platform by way of example to show that engaging in the political process, which may not have seemed as exciting at the time, it did not necessarily seem, you know, cool or something that young people were necessarily getting passionate about. She helped them make that connection that voting and getting involved in these political campaigns was the way to get what made you passionate. That's how you advance those causes. And so she understood that the political process wasn't something that young people could ignore but have to get involved in. And she really helped other a whole generation of young activists make that connection.
And, you know, that's a very important point, Senator Strauss, that I really didn't even think of, is she never even voted before. She was 18. This was her first election. I mean, I'm just astounded by all that. Jeff, do you want to handle that question? What do you think her activism meant in general to your cause?
You know, what's really amazing is that Hayden shared with me early on that one of the reasons that she responded to what I showed her to get her to come to the campaign is because Pierce Brosnan, in the height of his Bond time, was my first international spokesperson. And I was able to show her some of the PSAs and things that she did. And she looked at me and she goes, I had no idea Pierce did this stuff. And she goes, my role model is Angelina Jolie. And I know she does a lot of this really amazing stuff. And she goes, I want to be like them. And that's when she looked at her mom and she goes, Mom, can I do this? I really want to do this. And her mom said 100%. And she had that spark. She was a very special person. I mean, Hayden had a voice not only for animals that didn't have a voice to speak for, she spoke for them. She spoke for lots of great causes and, you know, voting and, you know, we see the situation that we're in this country. Voting's super important and she caught on to that at an early age. And she also wasn't afraid to talk about her own frailties and things that were going on around her. And hardly any celebrities have the courage to do that. She was one of the most courageous people flat out in my life that I've ever met or ever known.
Well,
and, you know, I can't say enough about her. And I want more people to know really who she really was, because she was amazing.
Me too, Jeff, and I feel similarly about her. And Paul, you can back me up at on this. She came to Denver with us to the convention, and she spoke at a luncheon we had. And I want you to know that when she stood up there at the podium, I don't think anybody in the audience had any idea who she was. Everybody in the room was over 40 years old. Heroes was a big thing on TV, right? And nobody knew. But she was so passionate about what she said about DC statehood that at the end of the show, at the end of the speech, everybody was just raved about her. They were all sucked into her narrative. And I was lucky enough to bring Dan Rather with me. And he even said to me how impressed he was with her. And he had no idea who the hell she was. But she was that passionate, and she was that, such a great spokesperson.
Yeah, I was in the room that day, and she was super powerful that day.
Really?
Yes. I mean, we did also, Senator Strauss, we went to he set up so that her whole family could come to the inauguration and for President Obama. And, I mean, that's still inauguration day is one of the probably most special days that I'll ever experience in my life, just because of the electricity that was flowing through D.C. at the time. And Hayden came up to me, and she basically said, "It's just so incredible to be here. And I'm so thankful that we're here," and to see him being sworn in. And because she could, she's an entertainer. She's been out in front. She's also a singer. She's a very good singer and sang in concerts and all of that. She knows what an audience feels like when it's electric. And that place was off the charts. And, she saw how her activism could work. And in Obama's first term, we had been lobbying him to get Iceland put on the Pelley Amendment because they were illegally killing fin whales in Iceland. And Hayden took that cause on. We had meetings in the West Wing, and she was the main spokesperson for that. And he agreed to do it, and she did all the press for that. And that was one of my most favorite things in D.C. besides statehood and the voting rights, was that she did something on an international scale that people have been trying to do for over 20 years. And she did that in 2011. I wouldn't have been able to do that without her. And we got it done. It just shows, if you have somebody like her that's as tenacious as she is, you have a lethal weapon. And in the environmental movement and also in statehood and other things, we were lucky to have her.
Yeah, and she was just the loveliest person. I think you, Senator Strauss, invited us to come down and visit with her on a boat. And I was able to bring my children, who were just, they were teenagers, and they were amazed at meeting her. And she was just gracious and kind. And me too. I can't say enough things about her. Well, Senator Strauss, I think you had another engagement. I don't know. Do you have something you want to say before you leave? Thank God you got her involved in our movement.
Well, and that activism that she had continued. I mean, she didn't just, it wasn't just a one-off or a sudden appearance. She did the PSA. Then she came with us in Chicago, and that celebrity luncheon that we did at the convention really was the first one. I mean, it taught us how to be better activists within the movement ourselves. And so going forward, we continued to integrate celebrities who wanted to use their platform for social justice. We continued to expand into the field of international diplomacy. Even later on in her journey, she became a passionate advocate for protecting the people of Ukraine who were being victimized by Putin and that horrible war. And so she continued. the PETA ad that was just released posthumously shows that whatever she was doing in her career, her commitment to justice and activism was important, and it really helped guide us. You know, we had just a handful of people, three or four in 2008. The last celebrity statehood luncheon we did in Chicago, we had close to 20. And so she not only helped kick this off, but she really taught us how to grow this movement. And of course, D.C. has a holiday. September 21st is going to be Hayden Panettiere Day in Washington, D.C. The district, she loved the people of D.C., and the people of D.C. loved her back. And with this tragic news, the outpouring of love and genuine feelings for her that the people of Washington had, she may not have grown up here, but she made this city her own, and there's a special connection that the people of Washington, D.C. Will always have with her. And when we do become a state, she will be one of the souls that we will continue to thank and recognize as helping us get there on that journey.
Oh, absolutely. She will have a page in the, when they write the story about statehood, she would definitely be in there. And I think it's great that a holiday has been dedicated to her. And I hope we can figure out something to do to recognize her on September 21st going forward, because she was really an amazing person. Thanks so much for being with us, Senator. I know you have to run, and I appreciate
real quick,
spending this time with us. Yeah.
Senator Strauss, I just want to say real quick before he drops off. Senator Strauss, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for all of the coordination and things that you did. Also, in conjunction with a lot of the work that Hayden was able to do with you, you facilitated a ton of work that I was able to do in Washington, D.C. on her behalf as well. Meant a lot to me, still does, and just wanted everybody to know that too. You were integral in helping us with our campaign there.
Well, anybody who met her came away learning a lot more about whales and dolphins and marine mammals in general. And,
right. What's a fish and what's not a fish?
you couldn't fail to be converted. And so whether we have to save the whales again and again and again, you can continue to count on me in doing whatever the Whale Men Foundation needs us to do, because she made clear how important it was that we're all on one planet and one ecosystem, and all of us have to take care of each other, whether you're on land, whether you're in the water, whether you're breathing air, or you have gills, distinctions that I now understand better, thanks to her. it all matters. So, thank you, and thank you for staying in, and you may be out of office, but you're never out of the fight, Mike, and that's one of the things that we love about you, and that's why it's always a pleasure to come back on this show, and you know, look how far the movement's come. And yeah, these are some dark times. I mean, that was an optimistic year, 2008, the beginning of Obama's first term, an election that showed that we could really change the future of our country. And we need to change the direction of this nation again. And so I'm going to try and continue to make Hayden and her fans proud and do the kind of work that made us all love her and admire her and respect her.
Well, again, Paul, thank you. And thank you for your service. You are the longest serving elected official in the history of the District of Columbia. Is that not true?
Well, I think Delegate Norton still has the record.
Oh, so, she beat you out. But you're still going, but she's retiring. So
that's
so
true.
I'll save that statement for a later date.
We'll
okay. Thanks again, Paul. And Jeff, Liber, you ask Jeff a question. I know that you've got things you want to say.
Well, Jeff, how has Hayden's involvement truly changed the course of your movement? And how, you know, what has been some of the most marking things that you will never forget, maybe specific moments or actions? And I know you shared a couple, but what are some of the things that you truly think developed and changed the course of the defense of abuse against mammals?
So I'll do a little chronological history here, because it's pretty amazing, because she also wrapped up her younger brother Jansen into our caper. So in 2007, I took both Hayden and Jansen and her parents to the Alaska International Whaling Commission meeting. And I set up a press conference. And the two main speakers were Hayden Panettiere and Jansen Panettiere. At that point, Hayden was just 16 and Jansen was 9. So I want your audience to think about that. So she brought up her little brother, and actually he was quite good. He did. I wrote a speech for him, and he actually memorized it, and I was really proud of him. But the fact that they're starting out in this activism movement, and we also had other celebrities there. Isai Morales, if you look him up, he's done some amazing movies, and it was just recently in a huge blockbuster with Tom Cruise. But Isai spoke ahead of Hayden, and she just looked at me, and she was like, how am I going to follow that up? And luckily, my vice president, Kurt Soderling, he's also my right-hand man. He's the best, one of the best cameramen in the world, to be honest with you. He just grabbed her and he said, listen, he's not talking about personal experience. You've got personal experience. Go up there and just talk from your heart. And she did. And she was amazing. And to me, she made an impression on that whole meeting. And so did Jansen. Because nobody knew who they were. And all of a sudden, there's all sorts of press about it, and it's all going on. And so that was number one. Like, she made an impression straight from there. I mean, the number one thing, the Taiji action that we did with the dolphin hunters, that one did great for making huge amount of international publicity. And it actually hurt within Japan. Because when the movie The Cove came out, it was very anti-Japanese in the way it was done. And I don't have any problem with the way that movie was made. I'm not making any critiques. It really helped you bring huge awareness to the international community. But in Japan, it actually kind of turned the tide towards more people, actually more pro-whaling and pro-dolphins killing, I'm sorry to say. So we went back in 2010, and not too many people know about this, but we went back and we actually went to Taiji. It was a very diplomatic meeting. We went, we had meetings with the mayor. We met with the dolphin fishermen. We met with lots of councilmen and lots of people. And we were really just trying to be more diplomatic about what things were going on. And it cracked open a door for a while. And that was really important. And she saw the importance, a lot of it because of the work we all did with you guys in D.C. with Senator Brown and Senator Strauss, and also working with the Obama administration on Iceland, that, hey, diplomacy can be really good. And I think that's something that I've learned throughout, too, is that I'm a very active activist, but I also like to say I'm a diplomat's diplomat. I think both go hand in hand with that. And I think that's a message, you know, for all of us that work on these issues, is there is a time for direct action. And there's also a time for diplomacy and kind of learning and where to, you know, draw those things is really, really important. Lastly, I always like to try to do things in threes or fours, and I lost my count. But she did an amazing film with me to bring awareness to dolphins and whales being killed in fishing gear, a lot of it ghost fishing gear that's just floating around in the oceans, but also active fishing gear. Most people don't know, but over 400,000 dolphins and whales are being killed in entanglement every year. It's the number one known killer of marine mammals. And we did a short film for the International Whaling Commission to set up an international whale disentanglement team. And because Hayden did that with me, we were able to have her come to the 2012 meeting of the IWC. They held the viewing of the film with her and I in the private commissioner's meeting, and they adopted that international whale disentanglement team. And what's really crazy, it's over 50 countries now. There's been over 2,000 people trained, and even Iceland, Norway, and Japan, who all still kill whales, they've actually freed entangled whales as well. And to me, that was one of her crowning achievements as well.
Well, first, let me say there's a time for diplomacy and there's a time for action. Could you please call the White House and let the president know that? Because it seems to have escaped him, the diplomacy part of it. It seems to have escaped him. But let me say, before I let you go, Jeff, let me say a couple of things. I think two things would be lovely if you're out there listening now. I think we'll have this podcast posted the day after tomorrow, and you can send it out to anybody you want to send it to. And I think it would be lovely, and I think it would be a lovely tribute to Hayden, and she would really love it if you would make a contribution to the Whaleman Foundation in her name. So, Jeff, tell us how we can do that.
So you can go to www.whaleman.org and just click on the donate button. And anything you guys want to do to help our cause would be great. And it's really been a tough time here for me. I mean, she was like family to me. So was her brother. And I think the more that we can do to strengthen her memory and for people to see her as a role model for her activism, I think that's really important at this time. Because that was really important. One of the things she said to me when she won the Genesis Award, and she's won a lot of environmental awards, that the Genesis Award is sort of like the Oscars of the environmental movement. And she she got their top award for what she did with the dolphin hunters and paddling out and all of that in Taiji, Japan. And she looked at me and she goes, "This means more to me than any acting award I could ever win." And that's the essence of Hayden Panettiere.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I hope people will contribute to your organization. Thank you for the work you do, but I have a personal thank you for you. Thank you for sharing this woman with our movement. You were so generous with us. Every time you came to Washington, it was delightful to be with her. My oldest daughter, who's a few years younger than Hayden, has a picture of the two of them, which I know she cherishes, and you were always very generous in sharing her time. And thank you so much for standing up. I've actually had an encounter with the dolphin, and it was the most amazing experience. They're amazing creatures, and we need to save them. We need to realize that we're not the only thing on the planet worth saving. Now I want to turn to my co-host. Do you have anything to say to Jeff? Liberty, or any questions you want to ask before we let him go?
Jeff, truly thank you so much for all the work you do. And thank you so much for recognizing beauty in people who carry along that work so well. I really, really do agree with Senator Brown when I say that I am enamored by whales and I absolutely love dolphins. What they do for us is unspeakable. And it truly is a pity that people cannot seem to treat them with the same care that they treat us. And that goes for statehood as well. And thank you again for everything you've done and for being able to hold such loving memory and sharing that with us about Hayden and all of her dedication.
And yeah, let me tell you also, also, Jeff, if we can think of anything, any other ways to honor Hayden, we would certainly keep in touch with you and your organization. Don't forget, people, whalemanfoundation.org, right? Make a contribution.
Yes, that'll get them there, too. there's a couple of different routes, but whaleman.org is the easier one for people to remember, but whalemanfoundation.org will get you there as well. So okay. I just appreciate the opportunity as well. And Senator Brown, it was a pleasure to meet you back then. And I really appreciate you still being the advocate that you are these days. You know, a lot of people at this age might in their life say, hey, I want to take a little step back and see what's going on. But to me, I can see you see the criticalness of this time that we're living in our lives right now. And it really swells my heart to see you still out there fighting a good fight, sir.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff. But I've got to be honest, I'm hiding from Mrs. Brown. If I don't have anything to do, Jeff, she's going to find things for me to do, you know? So I'm just trying to keep it on the down low. But thank you so much. And again, thank you for the work you do. And please come back on our show sometime and let us know how it's going with whales and dolphins, because we're all interested in that. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome, and I'd be happy to come back.
All right, great. Thanks again. Let me just talk for a moment. We invited the people from People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA, on the show. Unfortunately, they weren't able to find a spokesman who was available. So let me just tell you a few things about her work in PETA. She worked with PETA and did commercials for almost two decades, which means that, again, she was a teenager when she started all this. And I want to read a statement that they've issued about her. Hayden Panettiere became a household name playing hero on TV, but to animals, she was the real deal. She fearlessly paddled into bloodstained waters in Japan to stare down dolphin hunters during their annual massacre, a moment captured in the Oscar-winning documentary, The Cove. And you should see this documentary if you get a chance. And never stop denouncing marine parks like SeaWorld, calling their confinement of complex, far-ranging marine mammals in concrete tanks disgusting. The world has lost a kind soul and the animals a fierce ally, and everyone at PETA holds her memory close. And I think that's true for everybody in the statehood movement as well. And let me tell you that her last commercial, which they just released for PETA, is her in a bathtub and with the caption, how could you live in a bathtub? The question, could you live in a bathtub? And this is to amplify the program that's going on now to get whales and dolphins out of confinement. So she was working. She's still working. So you'll see those ads probably in the near future. But I want to talk about a little bit about my personal experience with her. First, I want you to know that I spent 4 days in Denver with her at the convention, as Senator Strauss pointed out. I'd never experienced anything like this in my life. I've been around four different presidents, and I've watched the press approach them and ask them for interviews and ask them questions, even shout out questions to them. But I never saw anything like Hayden. We would get out of a car with Hayden, and she would literally be assaulted at 18 years old. Paparazzi would run up, and reporters would run up, and they'd be, Hayden, 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 who are you voting for, Hayden? Hayden, 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 why are you here, Hayden? Hayden, Hayden, Hayden. And really, Senator Strauss and I tried to deflect some of it, and I would say, hey, I'm the United States Senator from the District of Columbia. And they'd go, great. Hayden, Hayden, Hayden. You know, and I just can't imagine that kind of pressure at 18 years old. Let me also tell you that she always looked flawless. I never saw this girl with a hair out of place. I never saw her, I don't know, being able to relax and just be Hayden. Even when we had private moments, like I explained to you, I was on the boat with my kids. she was still perfect, and she was, but she still managed to be friendly and engaging and real. She was real. She was, you know, somebody that I think liked to be hugged and liked to interact with people. And she was really, really great at it. And I admire her more than anything because she came to this at such an early age. And I think it's a tragedy that we've lost her. I really do. And I think we have to rethink the way we deal with these people in Hollywood. You know, she had her first commercial when she was a baby, literally a baby. I don't think she could talk. And then she did a Burger King commercial when she couldn't have been more than a few, you know, she still had to be in elementary school. And then she played, we all remember her from Remember the Titans, where she played such a big role and co-starred with Denzel Washington in a film we'll always remember. And again, she was a little girl. And she had all this pressure on her from day one. God bless her for everything she went through. I know we don't know the final story about her passing, but I just want to say I think she was a warrior with great courage, and we really have lost an amazing person in losing her. Liberty, since you're the smarter person on the show, I'm going to let you wrap it up. Go ahead.
I think that was beautifully said. And I think that it is truly a loss for society to see somebody like this go. I think that if anything, we have to alchemize this story and we have to move forward so that her warrior-like spirit will outlive her young years, and that we may continue fighting in her name.
How did I know you would do a better job of wrapping it up than me? That's exactly what we need to do. And I hope that we can continue to do it. And, you know, at the end of every show, we leave with a song. And I want you to listen carefully if you're out there listening to the words of the song, because it could have been written for Hayden, I believe. And this comes from my heart. We all loved you, Hayden. Your memory will always be with us. Here's one by Sarah McLachlan, In the Arms of the Angels. This is for you, Hayden. Thanks for listening, folks. Rest in peace, Hayden Panettiere. All I can think of is the line from the Beatles song that the love you take is equal to the love you make. And you made a lot of love while you were here. And we love you, Hayden. Rest in peace. See you next week, folks. Thanks.
Shadow politics.
Let the whole room sing.
Representation
is where freedom begins.
Leave one light on the window tonight.
Leave one chair open.
Leave one question bright.
The shadows aren't empty, they're waiting to be heard.
Sunday night, we give the people